You know, we call it the Acts of the Apostles, but more appropriately, it's the activities of the person of the Holy Spirit in and through the lives of believers, including the apostles. Thank you for those weak Anglican amen. Thank you. Because where I come from, here's amen. Are you ready? You've heard me do it before. Oh, I hope no one's watching. Okay. So we're going to look at, it's a long chapter, so we're only going to take the verses that were read. And if you look in the papers there, you're going to see that there are particular portions of the verses. Luther did that, so it's okay. That I'm going to lift out from a missionary perspective. So you might want to follow along there. In chapter 10, there's two visions, verses 1 to 16. We're skipping them. Then Peter is summoned to Caesarea, and there's the meeting there, verses 17 to 33. We're going to skip them. But we're going to jump into the story when it gets fun. Because Peter preaches to the Gentiles, beginning in verse 34, and then the coming of the Spirit in Caesarea, verse 44. Are you ready? Good, I am. Now, Peter's speech here is very typical of other evangelistic messages in the book of Acts, but each speech is unique and relevant to the audience. However, certain features are common to all of them. The audience in Cornelius' house consists of a unique kind of Gentile. They feared God, and they were familiar with the Jewish scriptures. We know that because Peter was able to refer to the Jewish prophets in verse 43. We know that cultural context change, but the gospel itself does not. And since the 50s, particularly in the U.S., but it has spread, there has been a change of how the gospel is presented. It's called watered down. Now, I drink a lot of lattes. And if you water them down, we're going to have a talk. You know, we don't need to water down the gospel. But in order to not water it down, we need to have a clue what it really is. We know that it's about meeting people where they are and leading them closer to the cross and to Christ. Beginning at verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and said. One scholar writes it this way, Peter took a deep breath and began. Oh my, how that applies to sharing Christ. What do I mean? Well, during that long, deep breath, we're saying, come, Holy Spirit, give me something to say. Lead me. You know the heart and the condition of this person. Excuse me. My tongue was left in the microwave for 8 weeks. It got the cancer and my salivary glands and a few other things, part of my brain maybe, but I need water from time to time. Okay, so for me, it's God. You know what's going on in the heart of this person who has been brought before me, has maybe asked a question, so you need to show me how do you want to reach this person to bring them closer to yourself. In verse 36, he says, you know the context and the contents of the message, the good news, the peace by Jesus Christ. It says, you know it. You know, we need to know it. Peter talks about this good news of peace through Jesus Christ, and God sent this message to the people of Israel. Peace and peace with God. It was a basic promise in the Old Testament. But when he says Jesus is Lord of all, I missed the highlighting on that, Peter extends this blessing to everyone, to all Gentiles. All may have peace and be at peace with God. Peter's speech here is the only evangelistic message in Acts where a summary of the ministry of Jesus is given. Verses 37 through the beginning of 39. Let's look at this summary of the message. You know, we know that The same message was proclaimed then and it's to be proclaimed now. But the message is under attack and it has been from the beginning. The simple message of the gospel of faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone is what is to be proclaimed. It doesn't say explained only, but proclaimed. This thing is. It's not to be altered or amended, but it's to be clearly understood first by we who believe and then through all who believe to those who are perishing without hope and separated from God. You know, there's no neutral zone. Either you're in or you're out. And we need to be reminded of that. They're on the way. No, if they haven't made it, they're on one way. And it's not the most positive end. I understand that God is always drawing people, but drawing you doesn't save you. In verse 38, we read how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with strength and ability and power, and he went around doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, because God was with him. When I read how God anointed, I think about John's words in 1 John when he's writing the little children. He says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Each of us have an anointing from the Holy One, not just to know it, but to let it flow through us out to others. We have the Holy Spirit, and he is the one with the strength and ability and power to accomplish God's mission in and through your life. If you want to derail your walk with God, try to help him. Just thought I'd throw that out there. The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. God's strength, ability, and power to do good, now listen, amplified, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. As a missionary, more than once I've seen demonized men, women, and children set free from the power of the enemy, the evil one. Deliverance is a manifestation of the kingdom of God here and now, even today in the USA. Earlier this year, on three separate occasions, and I resisted it, I was asked to teach about power encounters. So I have begun a podcast series on the subject, on the topic of deliverance. If you didn't get it, get one. You'll see information about the podcast on the mag card that's available for you if you don't have it. The phrase "for God was with him" is so significant for us. Jesus' power, as he lived his human life, came from where? The Holy Spirit, because God was with him. John reports a saying of Christ which explains his intimate relationship. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. Disciples of Christ follow his example. We do things in the same manner as he did. And in the Greek, the word for I am the way, the truth, and the life, there is a possible reading of the word way that includes method or methodology. The way we are to work is the same way Jesus worked. And Jesus says in John 14:10, the words I say to you, I don't say on my own initiative or authority, but the Father abiding continually in me does his work. Now, God will watch you work and fail, or you can watch him work and dance a lot. It's up to you. He does his works, attesting miracles and acts of power. The same manner and the same way as the Jesus we say we follow. Jesus continues in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing of eternal consequence. And we need to think about it that way. It's about eternal fruit, eternal consequence. God is in us and with us. He's in you. He's in me. So that his good, perfect, and acceptable will might be done for us, in us, and through us. It's his desire to do it and do it all through the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he has power, but he's a person with power. In verse 39, it says, they put him out of the way. They murdered him. They hanged him on a tree. After pointing out that the apostles were witnesses to what happened in the ministry of Christ, in the first part, Peter presents the death and resurrection. The death is described in typical fashion. Peter implicates the opponents of Christ and implies the curse of hanging on a tree. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. And what did Paul write in Galatians 3:13? Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse. From the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. May we remember why he died. Because of sin. It has become out of fashion to use that word in many cultures. I mean, who are you to say what's right or wrong? None, but God has the right. May we not forget why, and may we not fail to remind the listener, listen now, that sin has been dealt with. So believe and be saved. Believe and be forgiven. Believe and be rescued. Believe and be delivered. Believe and be healed. Hallelujah. Remember, John the Baptist said, look, look, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Not your good works, because they all stink anyway. In this regard, he points to the Lamb, and may God give us the grace to point to the Lamb in the same breath we dare to mention sin. They work together. As in his other speeches, Peter is stressing that God raised Jesus. We know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that if Christ is not raised, then our preaching and our faith is empty, it's in vain. But we know Paul also says, but Christ is risen by the power of God. And in Romans, he declares, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And think about it. When God raised Jesus from the dead, there was no charismatic prayer group or Anglican prayer group believing anything. His disciples were hiding and denying him. But God. There's a word, cancer, but God. There's a word, help me, but God raised him from the dead and said, I'm going to move on the inside of you so that you might see me work through you to the benefit of those around you. Time's running. Jesus was raised for our justification. Yes, peace and right with God. Right with God. Listen, the struggle to be right with God is over through faith in Jesus. It's over. Don't be like the foolish Galatians and try to finish in the flesh what God began in the Spirit. Jesus is our righteousness, our rightness with God. He lives in us and he tells us the truth when he declares on the cross, it is finished. Oh, that we might believe it and stop trying to add to it or detract from it. Verse 43. About Jesus, all the prophets testify that everyone, I like this in the Amplified, everyone who believes in him, who adheres to him, who trusts in him, who relies on him, giving himself up to him, receives forgiveness of sin through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening. Unlike his previous messages in chapters 2 and 3, Peter isn't able to elaborate because the Holy Spirit interrupts it. We need to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit a bit more. His message is cut short. And we know that because of his comment to the Jerusalem church when he talks in 11:15, I began to speak and the Holy Spirit came. Nowhere else in Acts does the Spirit come before baptism. And this reminds me of an event in India that I don't have time to tell you about, but maybe at lunch. 18 minutes, you know? Anyway, it's okay. Blessed are he who follows the clock. He'll be invited back. So, you know, and the Anglicans among them and the Baptists among them and the Catholics among them, they were all amazed because the Holy Spirit had been given to everybody. There's only one group. It's called washed in the blood of Jesus. The first thing that leaves us when we leave here is the label. Let's not be label makers. I used to have one of those, click, click, click. There's one name. And we hear them speaking in our own language. We need help to speak to people in a language that they can understand, like on the day of Pentecost. And you know, we need to understand that they were speaking about the miracles, the wonders, the reality of God. You know, sometimes when we think about testifying, we think we've got to become a preacher, parrot, evangelist or something. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us, to remind us, to show us continually the things he's doing in our life and opening opportunities to share that with someone. May he help us to see. You know, a lot of people say, well, God hasn't done anything big in my life. If he's done anything in your life, it's big because he's a big dude. Anything God does is big. May he remind us of what he's doing. And may he show us what he wants to do, and we let him do it. There's more here, but I'm going past it because it's 18 minutes and some seconds. And I want to be invited back, and I don't want to be late for lunch. But I do want to pray, seriously, the best prayer that I know, and I end all of my podcasts with it, and I'd like to pray it for you. May I do that? May God's good, perfect, and acceptable will be done for you, in you, and through you for others, is my prayer for you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.